Okay.
I'm going to call to order the special Bolt meeting of Wednesday, May 26th, 2021. And I'll read the public advisory. This meeting will be conducted exclusively through video conference and teleconference. Pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N-29-20, issued by Governor Newsom on March 17th, 2020, this May 26, 2021 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and the shelter in place order, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. You can join from a PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or Android device. You can also join by phone. And if you wish to speak, if you're on the phone, you would press *9 and wait to be recognized. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded, as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded, and all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. And this meeting will also be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Excuse me. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. Questions regarding this matter may be addressed to E. Franklin, Administrative Secretary, 510-981-6102. The Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on this agenda. All right. I think we're all here, so we can take roll call, Eve, when you're ready.
Okay. John Soloski?
Present.
Amy Roth?
Here.
Diane Davenport?
Here.
And Sophie Hahn?
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment on non-agenda matters. That would be something that is not on the agenda. I don't see any attendees. So it's kind of moot, right? Okay. If that changes, I will keep my eyes open. So if it changes for some of the items, you will get a chance to speak later. Comments from the library unions, and it's the same thing. I still don't see any attendees, so we don't have any union reps here. Comments from Board of Library Trustees. Sophie, any comments?
Nothing special today. Always gratitude.
Thank you. Amy?
No comments at this time.
No comments. And Diane?
Nothing at this time.
I just want to very briefly express my gratitude to our director, Tess, and also to all our staff, who I know have been working diligently. We have, there's been a schedule disseminated regarding partial openings of our libraries. There's going to be browsing and other some activities. Will be patrons will be able to use the libraries themselves. And North will begin some of these services on Friday, May 28th. West will begin on Monday, June 7th, and Central will open the first floor only on Tuesday, June 15th. Now, since I still don't think we have any attendees, this is going nowhere, but it is recorded. Okay, that's it. And again, thank you to staff who have been working on this and to Tess, everybody involved. I know this is a lot of work and it's a big step. And we have to transition, and I know it's not easy to do that. Thank you. We have our consent calendar, which include minutes of the May 5th, 2021 regular meeting, a recommendation to City Council for a contract rainbow waterproofing and restoration, a contract amendment for Johnson Controls Incorporated, and a contract amendment for Seva Group Incorporated. Are there any concerns about any of those? Anybody want to pull those questions, queries, whatever? Amy?
I do have a question about the contract amendments. So do they need to be pulled or can I ask? I'm not sure what the procedural thing is.
Is it a simple question?
Well, I guess if I knew the answer, I would be, it may very well be quite simple.
Touche.
Ignorance on my part. So what do you want to do?
Why don't you ask the question and then Tess and I will decide what we want to do with
it. Well, I'm not very familiar with either of these contracts. Maybe I should be, but I'm surprised at the increase in each of them, which seems to me very large. So I was going to ask about it. Was it expected? Is it in line with what they do? I'm just surprised at the amount of increase.
Okay. And are you referring to both of them, C and D?
Actually, both? I am referring to both of them. Yes, C and D.
All right. So I'm going to pull those for some discussion. It sounds like that's going to be a little more than a simple question.
Okay.
So the consent calendar at this point, those move to action. The consent calendar at this point is A, the minutes from May 5th, 2021, and B, recommendation to City Council contract for rainbow waterproofing and restoration. Unless there are comments or concerns about those two, I will entertain a motion to accept those two on consent.
I'll move those two on consent.
Second.
Thank you. And second by Amy?
Yeah.
Thank you. So Eve, do you want to do roll call? Thank you.
Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes.
Trustee Davenport.
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the action, let's do those two contracts.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with C, contract amendment number 108425-1, the Johnson Controls. Amy, do you want to ask that question again, or Tess, do you have a sense of what the question was?
I won't ask again unless it's needed.
I think it would help to hear the question again because it sounded like you were making an observation of an increase, and I was trying to understand what you were referencing as the baseline.
Okay, well, all right, let me.
Well, I can, on that contract, I can respond to the question.
Okay.
On that one, what we're doing there is Johnson Controls has the exclusive authority, say, to service that contract because it is a BMS system for that building. Yeah. So when these systems get installed in these buildings, you essentially the building owner makes a choice, and they make, in a sense, they become married to that system. So it's their system. It's to protect the warranty, we're compelled to go with Johnson Controls. So what that one is really doing, and it's really not a very expensive contract, is that you have to divide the amount that we're asking for. And I don't have that contract up in front of me, but I believe we're going maybe another 4 years or 3 years. So you would divide the amount by 3 years. And then we add, because we add an amount in there which doesn't link to a specific year of a service year. We add that for if something should break down and we need to replace a piece of the equipment or, you know, a component. So that's so, what so, we do. For.
So it's not, so not actually, it's not actually more expensive. It's just extending the contract for three more years.
Right. We have to extend that service. So, and that's what we're doing here.
Okay, so that has to do with the amount of time that the contract is.
Yes, both of them actually. Both of them, you would divide the amount. I can definitely speak to Johnson Controls. I think their amount per year is for monitoring and coming out is under their maintenance plan is under, I want to say, $7,000 a year, something like that. And then the rest is for any unexpected that might occur.
Okay, so I'm reading item D more carefully. It looks like it might be the same thing.
Yes, it is.
It's primarily the same thing. It's okay. Going over until 2023.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I didn't quite get but I get it now.
Don't apologize, Amy.
All right, forget it.
They're good questions and, you know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So if anybody wants to move those together or separately, C and D, we can take them together or separately, whatever anyone, whatever your druthers is for moving these.
Are we moving them back to the consent calendar?
No, we're taking them as action right now.
Approve. Okay, well, so move.
For D and D?
Yes.
Okay, just want to be clear. And I think, Diane, you, was that a second?
Yes, it was for both, John. Thank you.
For both. Thank you. Okay, good. Eve, roll call.
Trustee Solosky?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so just so we're clear, that was for both of them, Eve. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to check to see if there are any. Still no attendees. So I think we're just going to sail along without public comment here. Action calendar recommendation to City Council on the fiscal year 2022. Library tax rates. So I assume Tess and perhaps Dennis have some comments, some preview here for us, please.
Just to kick off that topic, we're recommending the PIG, the personal income growth rate in California, at 5.73 versus the CPI at 3.806. The difference between the two is roughly $395,000 increase if we select the PIG versus the CPI. I will say, myself and Tess are confident that selecting the PIG integrates well with the budget. It supports the priorities that were voted on in December of last year for this budget of what you see presented before you. It supports the FY22 programs and projects. And there I'm for myself, I'm speaking to a lot of the major material science projects being infrastructure. And it also puts us, I believe it puts us on a stable foundation as we move into the next biennial cycle for FY23 and 2024. So there are, as probably you're all aware, there are four funds in the city that can make this selection between the PIG and the CPI, and they're Parks and Measure E, which is Emergency Services. Those have selected the PIG. As the board, the Disaster Fire and Safety Commission is voting this evening, and their recommendation is also the PIG. We do know that two are there. Three are, if they vote that way, it'll be three of them. And we're recommending to as a fourth for the PIG.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Tess, any comments?
Thank you. Yes, I did want to just follow up and mention a couple of other things. We do acknowledge that this is an odd budget year. So again, we know that this is a one-year budget, and we will be having this conversation again in December. And really, we are initiating the process of addressing issues that have been deferred for a long time. And this is important because we're not just talking about infrastructure, we're actually talking about public and staff safety. When we talk about things like water intrusion that leads to mold, when we talk about things like the stucco project, when we talk about the replacement of the air conditioning units. So we really believe that the process of preparing for these projects needs to start now. We had tried to set aside some funding in anticipation of the Central Library Improvement Project. Obviously, we've completed just a part of that project. And this is also an unusual year because, of course, we're in negotiations. We know that personnel costs rise automatically with benefits and CalPERS, regardless of negotiations. But there are still some unknowns that we may be looking at with respect to this aspect of the budget. And I just want to share this slide with you that I have because I think it's particularly helpful in terms of illustrating what I'm referencing here. It was something that Dennis put together that I think shows graphically somewhat better what we're talking about here. Just want to confirm that everyone is seeing this slide that says tax fund at the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we know again that the Library Tax Fund 101 makes up 99% of the library's revenue and really pays for about 98% of all of our expenditures. And what's interesting is you can see in this slide that the proportion, right, of the capital projects, actually, when you get to the anticipated budget for fiscal year 2022, we all of a sudden jump to 36% of all of the library's expenditures. And of course, that's because we're beginning to take on these projects that had been deferred for many years. It's interesting when you compare to fiscal year 2009, right? You're only looking at an 18% of all of the expenditures. Just to clarify, the graph is only isolating staffing and these capital expenditures. It doesn't include everything. Mm-hmm. But we really just wanted to highlight the way in which these deferred projects are driving the costs up, and also highlight that we're at a very unusual place in terms of the staffing levels, right? Because we're only at 64% of the budget with our headcount, and that we know is not where it needs to be. It would normally be closer to something like 85%. And of course, our goal over the next several months is to get back up to that level. so that we can be at optimal staffing levels. And if you were to imagine that blue section that's at 64, if that were actually at the level where it should be, at an 85 percentage level, you can see how much higher it actually it puts us in terms of expenditures, projected expenditures in 2022 as compared to previous years. And I just thought that this was a helpful visual. Again, just to review, what we're talking about is the Stucco project, and we're moving forward with that, having identified a contractor. We are talking about the replacement of the air conditioning units, and we actually do need to eventually replace all of them. There are two on each side of the building, and they've all been recommended for replacement. We need to replace the roof. We have an issue in terms of water intrusion into the building, so there's a significant leak that's been a known issue, but again, was deferred. And it's complicated because it may or may not involve the sidewalk that's adjacent to the building. That's something that we're actually collaborating with Public Works to analyze and then, you know, project some sort of remedy. And then there's the completion of the Central Library Improvement Project, not to mention any kinds of issues that may arise in terms of the branch libraries. So I think this is a significant concern. We really want to, we believe that we need to start the process now, and that it's important for us to make sure that we have adequate revenue to do that. It's true that we did have significant savings this year. It was, again, a really unusual year with the combination of being closed and then the staffing levels shifting as they did. But I don't think that it's standard for us, and we don't anticipate that this is going to continue. I think it was more of a short-term difference that we were looking at in terms of the projected budget and what occurred. So I just wanted to share that with you, because I felt like it was a really effective tool just in terms of understanding where we are and where we're anticipating expenses over the next year.
Thank you, Tess. Yeah, that was, I think, an effective graph. Thank you. I'm just going to make a brief comment. I do support the 5.73%. I think, given some of the financial hardships that I don't just think it's a few people, I think it's probably a significant number of people in Berkeley and elsewhere have gone through and are still going through, possibly. I think it would be nice to waive the tax rate increase again, but I think that would not be prudent for us as a board. I mean, Tess has laid out some of the capital improvements that we're going to be looking at over the next probably 2-3 years. We have a healthy fund balance, but we are entering deficit spending, which always makes me nervous. There are reasons to do that, and there are good reasons to do that. But it is something to keep our eyes on going forward. That's it for me. Thank you. Sophie, I see your hand.
Wait, I'm mute.
All right. I wanted to say that, you know, I think it's highly unusual for us to not take the increase. It's extraordinary. And I think we had such a high level of uncertainty last time that we didn't do it, but other taxes in Berkeley similar were raised. So we were actually ended up being an outlier. So first of all, I appreciate Dennis doing some reconnaissance to know, you know, what action might be taken on similar taxes that get increased in this way across the city. But, you know, it's things are not all better, and there is still economic uncertainty and people who are struggling. But we also have a lot of people in Berkeley who ended up not being deeply damaged. And we have to continue to maintain our services. Any time we miss taking that increase, it's gone forever, right? It's kind of like compounding. You are always a year behind where you would have been. And so I think it is not something that we should continue. I think bad as things have been, we're on fairly solid ground, thank God, in the Bay Area. And we need to, you know, we should go back to taking the assessment, taking the increase.
Thank you, Sophie. Diane?
I agree with Sophie. I think we did the right thing last year. We did not know what would be happening, and we did our best to protect everyone in the city. And now it's time to look to the health of the library, which is our responsibility to do. This is not a huge increase. It is an increase. We need it. We have things that need to be paid for. So I'm totally in support of it.
Amy, any comments, questions?
I agree.
Okay. I think everybody's had their... Sophie.
Sorry, and the one more thing category. I just want to say that the understaffing, you know, not having positions filled, is a huge, huge stress on our staffs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been in a very stressful situation already. And so I am really, really committed to getting our staffing back to where it should be, not just to serve the public, but also because we cannot put so much weight on the shoulders of the staff we have. It's just too much.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to do that long term and not have them be in a position where they're feeling, you know, hammered, quite frankly. So.
Thank you.
So I got to move that we set the tax rate at the rate suggested by the library director.
Okay, so 5.73%. I think the easy thing to do is to accept the resolution, to adopt the resolution.
I would suggest that we adopt the resolution.
Because it's already written out, spelled
as
out.
It's already written, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that correct, Tess?
Second.
Good. Thank you, Sophie. And Dennis, Tess, that's fine, right?
Good. You move the staff recommendation, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. We can take a roll call on this.
Okay. Trustee Solowski?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Now we move to the proposed budget, fiscal year 2022, all library funds. I think Dennis, again, you want to start?
I'll just say that the proposed budget, there's no changes to what was proposed on the expenditure side. The revenue side has been adjusted with the anticipation that the recommended the PIG rate would have passed, which it obviously it just did. So this budget is complete as far as we know. Of course, it doesn't include potential COLAs until that becomes an action by the council. But other than that, I would say this is it. If Tess, you have anything?
I don't have anything to add. I do think that I've been able to address some questions that people raised individually. And, you know, I'm not sure whether there are currently outstanding questions. We have had some time to consider this budget since the last time we presented it.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Tess. Yeah, I think, Mike, whatever concerns I've had have been taken care of. We've been going over this now for probably a month and a half or so, it seems. I see your hand, Sophie. I don't know if that was prior or current. Okay. But I am comfortable in voting tonight if the board wants to do so. I do want to let the board know that if we do not have to do it tonight, we could do it next Wednesday at the regularly scheduled meeting. That's not too late. Just so you know that there's not pressure to do it tonight. But I'm comfortable with this. And if other board members are, we might as well do it and get it to council as soon as we can.
I agree.
Anybody want to move it? Or is there a comment? Sophie?
I just wanted to ask Dennis, is there a requirement that we have a certain number of hearings? The council has a requirement that budget has to appear X number of times on the agenda.
You're speaking in terms of bulk.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Great, then let's go. Let me see, what is the language of the motion? Sorry, I flipped to another page.
Again, it's adopt the resolution, the staff resolution.
Okay, so I move the staff recommendation resolution.
Good, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Diane seconds, thank you. Any other comment? We can take roll call.
Trustee Solovsky?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Hahn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. We move to C, action calendar C, recruitment process update from our director, Tess. You want to take that?
Yes, thank you very much. And I do want to provide a little context for what is included as the original recommendation as well. Is everyone able to hear me adequately? I know
yes.
There were some issues last time. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, just checking.
Tonight it's better, yes. Thank you.
So we now have a total of 26 applicants, wow, which is great. And because we have such a strong pool, I rescind my recommendation or the question that I outlined in the report to you that we extend the application window. So at the time that I prepared the report, there was still a question as to how many applicants we would get. And as frequently happens, there was a rush of applicants right towards the end of the application window. And because of the number and the quality of candidates, I no longer recommend that we extend the application window. We have already scheduled one special meeting for interviews on June 14th. And I do recommend, because of the number of candidates that we have, that we schedule a second interview date, perhaps June 21st, but we'll potentially be able to work offline to identify another date. because I think that it would be more reasonable to divide the number of candidates between two different dates. One recommendation that I included in the packet was that we include a special meeting date of June 14th to conduct the interview selection process, because that was not originally, or that wasn't included in our original timeline, the date of June 14th. I think we will need to add a second date. And we also need to adjust the overall timeline so that we can schedule an action item for the July 7th Bolt meeting to select the preferred candidate to recommend to City Council for inclusion on the City Council's September 14th meeting agenda. And this would require the submission of a written report by 12 p.m. By August 12th. I did outline an alternative approach, which would expedite the process a little bit more, but it would involve basically the meeting on June 14th, the additional date that we haven't selected for another day of interviews, and then we would need to schedule another special meeting prior to the deadline that would occur at the end of June to submit for the August City Council meeting agenda. So I think what I was describing as the recommended action is to put this on the July 7th regular Bolt meeting agenda in terms of finalizing the selection. It does change the originally proposed timeline by a little bit, and it would just mean that the incoming, the new trustee would be starting a little bit later than we had originally projected. And I think that if you look at the timeline that was included in the packet, it reflects the adjusted dates that I just described.
All right, thank you.
Tess, I have a little bit of a problem with that. Since it was on the agenda, I presumed that we weren't getting a lot of applicants. So I have reached out to more people, you know, encouraging people to apply. And I would feel a little bad if we went back and, you know, closed it as the old date. I'm just a little mixed about it.
Understood.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how we can, what a proposal might be. So the application period is closed at this point.
Yes, as of 5 p.m. May 24th.
24th, okay. Yeah, I thought it was this week, right. Bob Dylan's birthday. I had to say that.
He's 80.
Anyway.
Could we still extend it to June 1st? It feels like we're at the end of this week. Monday's a holiday. It would allow maybe another couple of people to apply, but not a lot more.
Does that June 1st is next Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes. Does that worry you a lot, Tess?
I don't have a concern with it. I think basically we would just need to be making sure that we scheduled enough interview time for the number of people that we needed to interview.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have an issue with that. We would still hold the June 14th meeting, I'm assuming, and then a second meeting to be decided.
That's correct. And the extension of the window doesn't change the timeline.
Okay.
That would be fine.
Yeah. And I appreciate the dilemma you were in, Diane. Yeah, I think this is a reasonable, at least it gives people the weekend to apply if they want to. Because it is a long, it's a holiday, it's a long weekend. So, we should take action on that, or is it just direction to you, Tess, at this point? Amy?
When we say that there are 26 applicants, is the board expected to interview all 26 people, or is there some kind of sifting that happens before they come to us?
We will be interviewing all of the applicants. There is a possibility that when we reach out to coordinate with them to schedule them, that they decline to interview. That does happen sometime.
Okay. Well, we'll have to be quite disciplined in our interviewing, because 26 people is a lot.
It's a lot of people. And yeah. I think with 26 people, we are going to see some people demur or drop mm-hmm. out or whatever. But, you know, that remains to be seen. That's not a guarantee. It's a lot of people, as Amy said.
John, are you wanting people to just jump in?
Please.
I wasn't sure how you were.
Oh, I see your hand, but I
know you never know if it's been up forever.
Right. I can't remove you. I'm just, so you know, I'm not the host, Sophie, so I can't remove. I've been trying to figure it out, but I can't remove somebody else's hand.
No, it's just that most of the meetings I'm in, you get removed automatically. And so I'm just not monitoring that. So my apologies. Have to be retrained. Okay. So 26. Tess, are the applications all going to be posted online? Are they public?
Oh.
They're usually part of your board packet with their address and telephone redacted.
Yeah.
Okay. What I know, this is, you know, a wonderful problem to have too many applicants. And I'll just say that while I'm not eager to have more people to interview.
Bye, we're leaving.
Bye. Bye. Very nice. While 26 is already a lot of people to interview, I definitely feel that, you know, having the fact that it was on our agenda, that we would be extending it, and that you went ahead and talked to some people, it feels a lot more fair to me to at least give them a window. But again, letting them know, oh, there's 26 people, still would love for you to apply, but we didn't extend it as long. And so I think that's the right thing to do. But part of why I was asking if we are going to have the applications be public, that is that there would maybe be a link to a document with them online. I mean, they are public documents, right? Is that that might motivate some people to decline to be interviewed. Mm-hmm. That is, there might be some self-selection. Now, I don't love that, but I mean, I'm just... I do recall from past times that, you know, we've had, you know, people who just love the library and that's fabulous, but they go up against people who have like tons of institutional experience expertise. And I remember it being a little bit awkward, you know, having people say like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that, you know, literally saying, I didn't realize all these people with all this, you know, I mean, people recognize themselves sometimes. I don't know. Just putting that out there.
Are you citing a privacy concern? Is that where you started? I'm just asking because I wasn't sure. Like when some people figure out their application is going to be public, you're saying?
No. The application will be public no matter what. It is public. I'm talking about a timing issue of when and where the applications are publicly available for viewing. Usually it's not. And what Eve has just informed us is that all the applications are part of our packet.
Okay.
For our meeting. So they will be in a public document and all the applicants will have the opportunity to read all their competitors' packet. That will be after we've scheduled out, you know, 30 people basically, not before. So it's, you know, I don't want to discourage people from going forward. Not everybody writes, you know, everything that makes them worthy of being chosen. But I'm just thinking, you know, to manage 30 applications, it's tough. And I have to say that I personally really dislike the process that we have of making people interview in public in front of each other. I think it's very awkward. Awkward is the best I can say. I think it's a strange exercise to ask a nice community member who wants to volunteer to go through a kind of, I don't know, a process that I'm not sure feels that respectful or comfortable. So, I mean, none of this is set in stone, right? This whole process of recommending to the city council, it's customary, but it is not in any policy anywhere. It is in the draft bylaws, but we can also change that. And so there's nothing, to my knowledge, set in stone that we even have to do these interviews in public. I mean, is that something that's been advertised to folks? That it would be in public?
It's precedent, I think, only.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing makes me really uncomfortable, quite frankly.
Okay, Sophie, though, you have to, I mean, it seems to me that...
And I'm sorry, the only reason I'm hiding myself every now and then is because I'm eating dinner. So I'm here.
Okay. What I wanted to say was every meeting that they attend from their interview on is public. So they might as well get used to that from the beginning. Although it's not, I hear you. I hear your point, but I think they are taking on a public office, if you will. And, you know, that's part of the deal. I wanted to ask a yes or no question about the number of applicants. We won't be getting anybody who like doesn't live in Berkeley, or those will have been sifted out. Is that true or not true?
Correct. If somebody, we haven't had one that submitted an application who hasn't lived in Berkeley.
Yes, there was.
We've had a couple, and we had inquiries about it.
Okay, inquiries, not applications.
But they didn't actually submit.
Okay, thanks.
You know, I think we should just, you know, this is an amazing time that we've gotten 26 applicants. I've never heard of that before in my lifetime. And I've watched these things for years. And I think we should use it, you know, as an educational process of maybe it is time to review how we select board members. But I don't think we should change it at this point. I think before everybody who's applied has been interviewed, we can do that respectfully. We can go about choosing our person. And given this huge amount, you know, maybe as we go through this process, all of us can be thinking about, is there a better way to do this? Is there a way to get down to 6 applicants or 8 applicants that might be more reasonable? But, you know, I'm frankly thrilled that, you know, 26 people are interested. You know, I think that's pretty exciting for the library and our community right now. But, you know, we may want to think to the future of how we do this in the years to come, given this many people.
Yeah, Diane,
I agree with you. I actually think it would be awkward to change it now also. And would take our time figuring out a process that, or a change that we would agree on. And I don't think, I mean, we don't really have that time.
I'm sure it's probably more about a general comment. And I really appreciate Diane saying, like, why don't we pay attention to the process as we go through it? And that might lead to some, reforming how we think we want to do it. But I agree that this is a wonderful problem to have. And we're talking about how do we manage abundance, which is a privilege and a pleasure. And I didn't want to make it sound like I wasn't happy. I'm just, honestly, yesterday I was in a meeting from 3:30 till 11:45. And I'm just kind of burnt out right today. And that was after my normal day. And then I started at 8 a.m. today. So I think you may just be kind of hearing a little of my meeting fatigue, thinking, like, isn't there another way? I agree with you, Diane, and John, and Amy, that we shouldn't change horses midstream here. But I think it would be nice for us to think about a less awkward process for the future. And if we're going to have this kind of abundance of interest, maybe an intermediate stage where we hone things down to some finalists, basically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the processes I've been accustomed to and do some of that, filter it down a bit. But right now I don't think we have that luxury. Amy, you have any comments?
No, I'm done commenting.
Okay, your hand is up.
Sorry. You're right. It is. Here we go.
You guys like to mess with me because I can't do anything about it. All I do is see a hand.
No, sorry.
Do we need a motion to adjust the timelines? Or
well, that's what I'm. What do you want from us, Tess? Direction or do you want action?
I think that because we need to formally, because we've had this discussion in particular about extending the application window. Which affects the public. It's not just our sort of internal process.
Yeah.
I think, and also involves the city clerk's office. I think that should be a motion.
So were we thinking of extending it till the first? Was that the thought?
That's fine. Yes.
So then I would move to extend the timeline for turning in applications to the 5 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, June 1st, and delegate to the library director the power to set the additional schedules as appropriate. So she doesn't have to come back to us. Just give her
That summarizes it, and it's very simple. Good, very straightforward. Thank you. So are there any concerns or questions about that? If not, we'll take a roll call.
Who seconded?
Diane.
Okay. Okay, roll call. Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes.
Trustee Davenport.
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
John, can we have a little conversation about the selection criteria?
Sure. I have time.
Can we, if it's not on the agenda?
Well, it's part of this item.
Well, no, it's fine with me. I'm just...
Yeah, action, it says trustee recruitment process. So I think we can use that as a.
It is an attachment. It's in the packet. I'm responding to something in the packet.
Okay, go ahead.
It's the last two pages of the packet if folks want to flip to the end. That was what I thought was our most important conversation after the budget.
Okay.
So I kind of, looking at these, felt like this was less selection criteria than just criteria in general for people who would apply. And I think that we should consider possibly having some equity diversity criteria for us in making selections. And that's not really reflected here. These are kind of qualifications. But I don't know. I just feel like, especially if we're going to have 30 people to sift through or 28 or something, I think three of us have a lot in common on this board in terms of age and gender and race. And we only have one additional slot. And I personally, I guess I'll just state that I have a really strong commitment to adding diversity of background, of ethnicity, experience with the library versus not. I think we should be taking that into consideration, that we want to better reflect the community at large. Unfortunately, with a board of only five people, we don't have a lot of opportunities. And for Berkeley, this is actually a really small board. So I'm just putting that out on the table up front.
Yeah, thank you, Sophie. I agree with you. And the only thing that touches on that in the selection criteria is the a demonstrated commitment to equity, diversity, and inclusion is essential, but that's for the candidates, it's not part of the process, really, in a way. It does touch it a little bit, but it's not a strong statement.
It also says reflects the diversity of the Berkeley community, including a diversity of experience working in different sectors of the community, as well as age, ethnicity, religion, gender identity, ability, and sexual orientation.
Yeah, so I was going to add the experience, the experience part of it, because I think that is important. I do agree with you, Sophie. I'm not sure that we can actually change this document right now, but we can make a commitment to looking for a candidate who represents another or a different part of this community and has ties to other parts of this community, because I think that's important. Comments or suggestions?
Well, and I just want to say, I'm not saying it's dispositive. I don't know. I have not seen these applications. I don't know what people's backgrounds and qualifications are. I guess I'm just stating that it's a really strong value for me in general. And it's something that, and Amy, thanks for reminding us that there is that second place where it shows up. My eye hadn't caught that.
That's pretty explicit.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you, Amy. Other comments or suggestions?
Common sense. I like that.
Common sense. Okay.
Very library-ish.
Very what?
Library-ish.
Library-ish. Okay.
Excuse me. All right. So Sophie has made her comment. I've made a comment. Unless there are others, I think we can actually move on and we'll deal with this. When we see the applicants, I think we'll have a better sense.
Yeah.
And I actually trust that we will have, if not an entire range of the Berkeley community, we'll have a pretty, I think we'll have some representation, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, with 28 or 30 people, I think.
Yeah, with, I know, you would think so, right?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, well, and that is another great benefit of having a large pool.
Yes, yeah. It is. It is.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think we don't have any director's report or anything else tonight, right? Right.
No, special meeting.
That's right. It's a special meeting, so we're not doing that tonight. The only thing we have is items for future agenda, and we've already worked out that we need to. Yes, do you have your hand up, Diane?
No, but Tess does, I think.
Oh, Tess, go ahead.
I'd just like to mention that we don't have at this point, because we adopted the resolution to accept the recommendation on the tax rate and the budget, that I recommend that we cancel the June 2nd regular BOLT meeting, which is next week. We will be, of course, having two special meetings at least to be interviewing candidates, but they need adequate time. They need to be advised of their application appointment. And normally I might suggest holding the June 2nd meeting in order to provide one of those dates, but that doesn't provide enough time to advise them of the appointment.
Yes, I agree with that. A June 2nd meeting, it would not accomplish that. And if there's nothing else of great importance, I have no problem with that.
Can we do that when it's not on the agenda?
Is anybody keen to meet on
June 2nd? No, I'm not. But can we take action on an item that's not on our agenda?
Tonight?
Oh, yeah. You mean about the June 2nd meeting?
Yeah. That's my only question. It's a process question.
It is process, but we can give direction to the director.
Okay. Great.
And what we can always do. What is the proposal to
cancel the June 2nd?
To cancel the June 2nd regular meeting.
I see. And kind of move it later to.
Well, we're going to have the interview meetings, two of them, at least two of them in June. So, and because we did the budget tonight, the significant items were taken care of.
Right.
Yeah. I certainly don't think we should meet if we don't have to.
That's common sense.
Amy.
You could be a member.
What's that?
I just want to make sure we have one meeting scheduled for the 14th. We think there's going to be another one, but we have not yet scheduled it. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm calling it to be decided.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
But it does seem like we're going to need two meetings.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Even for 20 people, it seems like you would need two meetings.
Yep.
Okay.
Can someone remind me, I think, so for these interviews, maybe we should talk about, you know, how long each will be. And don't we usually have standard questions? We want to ask everyone the same question. Same questions, the same order. We want to give them the same amount of time to reply. How is that usually developed? Maybe Eve knows.
My recollection is they asked the same damn questions that you filled out on the written form, and you just sort of went through it again verbally. And
maybe I
think I was the most recent person on the, and I think I remember. Yes, it's what you're asked at that time is very similar to the application. You give a little statement and then, you know, but I do think, again, with the number of people that we're going to have to keep things tight and moving. But it was almost identical to the application.
Eve, I do see your hand. You have
In the past, we've allotted 15 minutes per candidate, and there was a series of questions that seems to have been very similar in every single instance since I've been here. So
I think we may not want to do 15 minutes.
Yep.
I was extrapolating that in my head, and I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to have 5 hour meetings.
20
right?
times 15, we got to say times 20 because there's transition time, is 560 minutes divided by 60.
Yep.
It's 9.3 hours.
Yep. No, well, no, that's not going to work.
Here's an idea. What if we said maybe 6 minutes and we predetermined two questions and we let them know ahead of time? We posted them.
Yes.
Here are the questions we're going to ask you. Please come and present, and you'll have 3 minutes to speak to each of them or something like that. And then we give them 10-minute sign-up slots, right?
So right.
You have a little time to take some notes and, you know, say hello and be pleasant. And then you have two questions or, you know, maybe three, and we give 9 minutes or I don't know. What do you think?
Is good.
I actually think the two questions, maybe at three minutes apiece. But I also think it's always nice, and I think it's respectful in a way, to allow 30 seconds or a minute to what didn't we ask? What should we know about you? Something along those lines.
So that could be the third.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be 3 minutes. Make it quick, you know?
So what we're landing on here is two questions plus an opportunity for them to ask us a question.
Yeah.
A 10 minute slot. We're going to give them 3 minutes for each of the questions we ask them. Then we will thank them and say that if they would like to ask us any questions, or maybe we should let them know ahead of time that they will also have the opportunity to ask us one question.
I think they should have the opportunity, not necessarily to ask us a question, but to fill in anything that we haven't asked about, to keep the focus on them, not us.
Okay, so set questions, and then the third is open-ended. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about yourself or your candidacy? Somehow, I'm sure even Tess will come up with nice language for that. And that will be 3 minutes maximum for that. And it's a 10-minute slot. And
that's it.
Or how does that sound?
Reasonable.
That sounds good.
So is the first question, tell us what inspires you to serve on the Board of Library Trustees? By the way, I'm not writing anything down, so. Is that a good first question? Tell us what inspires you to want to serve on the Board of Library Trustees.
I don't know that right now, Sophie, because I don't remember the 6 questions we've asked them to write about. But, you know, my feeling would be something like to do something sort of a little bit different than those 6 questions. If we as a board think that diversity and community coverage and something else are the most important things to us, maybe we could, you know, maybe we could emphasize that of, you know, the library board is looking for diversity, representation from throughout the community and community groups throughout the city. How would you contribute to that or something?
Yeah.
I would make it a little bit different than, the, I mean, that's a stupid.
That one's a little heavy-handed for me, but I get where you're going.
No, I agree. It was heavy-handed, but you know, to sort of make them focus in a little bit different way of not just what they offer, but given what the library needs in terms of community input, how do they fit into that, I guess. Somehow.
So maybe we could, I do think it's nice to give people the opportunity to introduce themselves personally and tell a little, even though we've read it in their application, I think for someone to sit down and for us not to just sort of, you know, give them sort of an open question where we're, you know, giving them the opportunity to say, you know, I'm Diane Davenport. I've given my life to the libraries. There's no capacity in which I haven't served, and my love and devotion are unyielding. You know, you want to give people the opportunity to say that. So yeah, that's why I was kind of starting. But I think the second question could be something like, what unique perspectives and experiences do you feel that you can contribute to the board as a whole? Something like that?
That's a great question, actually.
How do you like that, Tess? You who've done these kinds of things from both ends.
Just to summarize again, how do you feel that you could contribute?
What did I say? I said, oh, thank God we're being recorded here. We can go back. What unique perspectives and experiences do you bring or would you want to bring to the Board of Library Trustees as a community representative or whatever, unique perspectives or experiences or, you know, I don't know, something like that. You just use perspectives and unique and things like that.
I think that would provide an opportunity for somebody to introduce themselves in a way that was more personal. I don't know if you're linking those two, if you were suggesting that the opportunity for them to introduce themselves is different from that question.
Well, I think you're right. That could be a little bit compound. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and what unique perspectives, experiences, and points of view you think you can bring to the Board of Library Trustees. I mean, 3 minutes is actually a decent amount of time to talk, especially when you're nervous. I know I fill 3 minutes all the time with no trouble at all, but if you really time it and you're conscious of it, it's actually a lot of time.
I think we should have a big clock with a second hand
click, click,
counting
click
off, right? So people can see.
Well, we can have that clock, which we have for public comment, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make it big. That may be a little rude, but sure. I think we should do that in certainly in the name of fairness to ensure that everyone is getting equal time. I think we should, of course, John will be very pleasant and kind, but he'll say, thank you so much. If you could just wrap that up so that we are being fair.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, so, maybe Amy and John and Tess can figure out the two questions. Yes. To ask, given our sort of conversation about it, that it should be different than the written ones, but, you know, give them a chance for a general introduction and then something specific about what makes them unique.
or compound that into one question and come up with a really good second one and then ask them if there's anything else they'd like to share.
Right. Fine. Right. Fine. Right. I think we can work that out. Yes.
But let's announce them ahead of time and the exact amount. I mean, then people prepare and they're not thrown off kilter, and that I also agree. Tells us I whether agree. They're going to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And then it Good. Moves things along a little more quickly, because honestly, we're going to be doing that first cut and the second and the third all in one evening, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing I'm thinking is that if we're going to have that many people, maybe we actually should have just a little sheet with everybody's name and their time slot and a box for each of us to keep our own notes. I don't think we're going to have a scoring system or anything like that, but I think that just providing each of us with some kind of a template that we can use. So again, so that we can
That'd be, nice.
Be sure to really fairly and succinctly and clearly have all of our notes.
It'd be great.
And then of course the conversation about who to select is done in public.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all done in public. Amy, that's why I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, with 28 people, you don't want to be there saying like, okay, who's a definite no? I think, John, you may need to, maybe you and Tess can talk a little bit about how that conversation will be led. In a way that does not require us to, that is the most gentle possible. Maybe have each person put out their two or three top candidates and we can see where there's over. I mean, I don't know, but you guys, we cannot be bumbling this day of.
Gee, I was lucky there was only two people when I applied, me and one other person.
Yeah.
Sophie, I did want to say, I, because of the way I think about things, I would prefer to have some kind of rating area on the, and if you don't want to use it, you know, you don't have to, but sometimes it can help the weighting.
I'm fine with that. I was trying to not, I'm being trying to not overimpose things here. But I'm completely fine with that. Or maybe a ranking box or something, you know, however, whatever would be helpful to you, Amy, if you have an idea of what.
I can work on that.
I'm happy to share, excuse me, a tool that we use in terms of our process here that I think constitutes a ranking system that's pretty easy to use. And so maybe I can discuss that with Amy or John.
That would be great. I mean, I know.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, the city and the library have, they do interviews all the time and have very fair processes in place and templates and things. So if there's something tried and true that could be adapted, you know, we do have to think a little bit. I guess those are not, don't become public when they're our own notes.
No, right? our private notes don't have to be public.
Yeah.
Just hold them close, that's all. And I, Tess and Amy, if you wanna work that out, that's fine with me. I wanna believe, and it usually does happen this way, that there are several people that kind of rise above and that there's some agreement on, probably not total, but that there is some consensus on, and hopefully that will happen.
I think that happen. Usually happens.
Yeah, it usually does. And that I'm hoping that will happen, because otherwise it's going to be, I think, very difficult. But having said that, if it does happen, I think that does make our job with 28 or 30 applicants a little easier, I hope. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
So do we have two meetings to interview people and then there's a third meeting or that involves selecting? Is that the way it goes?
We've never had this problem. For example, with you, we just did it, two interviews, and we did it in the same meeting.
Right, right.
So you were sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe we can put off the answer to that question.
Well, no, I actually think we do need to think. That's why I wanted to initiate this conversation, because I think I just feel so strongly that all these people are good people who are enthusiastic and are willing to serve, and they've taken the time to do an application. And I just want a process that is the least awkward possible, the most fair, the most transparent. And I don't want to wing anything. And I don't want John to have to be winging things in what could be an awkward situation. And we want everyone to feel really good about the process, because 29 people are going to be told no, and only one is going to be told yes. And that is not a great process to have to do literally in public.
Right.
Right.
And I think we have to look at who do we want this board to be. It's not just, there may be 10 really great people, but do they supply some of the diversity that we need? Does anybody live in South and West Berkeley, where none of us
right
live? Do any of us have deep ties to, I don't know, the school district or to religious organizations or something that we don't have now on our board? I mean, I think we it's not just a good person we're looking for. It's somebody else to better complete the look at the community that's reflected on this board. And that's a little different than just the best possible people out there. So
it's from a straight sort of weird traditional criteria perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, that this is exactly the conversation we don't want to have with all 30 candidates listening to us, although they could be today.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, that we want to have pre-thought about these things, mm-hmm, and not be formulating them in real time.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking about what you just said, Sophie, and I don't necessarily disagree with airing all of this in public for each candidate, but I think a degree of honesty from my perspective is important. And I think if you're honest with people and direct, some people in Berkeley are always going to get offended, but I think if you're honest, I don't see how that will offend people.
I don't think it'll offend people, John, if we have some criteria,
yeah,
that is spoken, not unspoken. And I think, you know, I think what I've just spoke to sort of speaks to some of that. It's that, you know, we need more diversity on this board. We need people who live in other areas. You know, I think as long as we can be clear about a few of those things, we'll be fine. But if we go into it just without saying any of those things, without acknowledging that it is that we are a community board needing fuller representation, then we might be in trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think going back to the selection criteria, which was kind of how I opened this conversation, that And Amy, I had skimmed it really quickly, and thank goodness you pointed out that very thorough bullet point. I think that when we're deliberating, and John, I think I may not have expressed myself well. I wasn't saying that I didn't want to have any transparent conversation. I was saying we want to have some mutual agreements here going into it and not be figuring out those, oh, well, I don't really care about that, but I thought we were trying to go for some, you know, that's what I meant, that we don't want to be grappling with. We want to have a little bit, we want to have our house in order before we call other people to our house.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, when we're deliberating, I think we might want to refer to these criteria. And someone could say, wow, everybody seems to have this interest and enthusiasm and obviously ready to devote the time. We've heard so many open minds and, you know, but, and then say, you know, but I think what I really am excited about with this candidate is that they have all that. And they also really bring that diversity bullet point.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I thought let's review the criteria, because as we deliberate, we want to be able to point to something that is objective, that is already out there in the world, that, you know, that everyone can see these are the criteria, and that in our conversation, we can refer back to them. And that helps, again, I think, and when I said, let's get the house in order before we invite other people in, that's kind of, you know, the kinds of agreements I think we should have.
Yeah. Great.
I agree, Sophie. Mm-hmm. And it is good to be able to point to something and have some agreement. Otherwise, again, in my experience, there is some people can feel that it's somewhat arbitrary and they don't understand why we're making the decisions we're making. But yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any details, Tess, of a process that we haven't touched on? We've touched a little bit on criteria. We've made some suggestions about how many questions, making them public ahead of time, 10 minute slots. I personally think potentially if we put the applications in a big long PDF or something that people could scroll through them, maybe not everybody would sign up to interview, but I don't really need to use that as an aggressive strategy. I just think people might, or if that's not customary, then don't do it. But we've never had 30 applications either. I personally would like to get them as soon as the date closes. I want to get them immediately, and I'm not sure how you do that without publishing them, if you're going to give them to all of us. I can't read 30 applications and give them their due if I only have 5 or 6 days. I know my reading burden in a budget month is hard to fathom. So I would like them to be available immediately when you have the whole suite of them and you have determined if there's anyone, for example, who doesn't live in Berkeley or whatever, but to pass them along to us immediately and publish them. And then for you guys to John and Tess and Eve to work a little bit on choreography, right? And I guess with Amy, I mean, that's it's two people is still not a Brown Act issue, right?
Right.
So if you guys can orchestrate it and finish up the details, I'm confident it'll be well done.
Yeah. Well, at least we'll be prepared. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. I think with 30 people, we're going to have some surprises, you know?
of all kinds.
Yeah.
Just what we need.
Okay. Anything
can
else?
Can I say one thing really quickly? And
of course, Amy, please.
I think when it's all is said and done, those people who applied and did not get chosen, we should craft a really nice letter for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you. Yes.
I think that's really important because you want them to feel like they were heard and considered and everything.
And appreciated. Absolutely.
And appreciated. Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. I'm happy to do that.
That's a lovely idea. Thank you so much.
As long as somebody else will look at it after I craft it.
Absolutely.
Well, I think our president and vice president and CEO and COO.
I'll draft a quick little, note, letter. And because I assume you're going to be kind of busy, but and I don't want to put it on you. And I'll send it to Tess and Amy, and then we'll take it from there.
It sounds like Amy's ready to draft too, John. So
go ahead, Amy. You please, please, please.
Are you on your knees?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll take the first cut.
Good. Wonderful.
All right.
I really appreciate you guys letting me kind of push this conversation on you.
No, it's important.
It's nice to have had sort of a little bit of summary of what we're looking for and the logistics and whatnot. So thank you, Sophie.
Yep. Thank you all.
All right.
We have to consider anything else or are we done? Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
You want to take a roll call on that, Eve?
Hey, Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes, please.
Trustee Davenport.
Yep.
And Trustee Hahn.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good meeting, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.